Okay, well, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians one more time. And we're going to look at chapter 5, verse 18 again, which is our touchstone for thankfulness. And it says in verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. And then, you know, we noticed that, or I read to you that in some translations it says, in all circumstances, give thanks. So, you know, we really don't have an excuse for not being thankful. God says we are to be thankful. We just heard in manifestations, you know, how much he loves us and how beyond our comprehension his love is and what he has for us and how he blesses us. And so we are to be thankful. The word for thankful is Eucharistos or Eucharistos and is associated with thanks, thanksgiving, thankfulness, or some such form. And it means to show one's thankfulness or gratefulness. The first use of the English word occurs in Leviticus chapter 7. So we're going to go there and look at it. Leviticus chapter 7. Of course, Leviticus is the giving of the law, and it was written specifically to the Levites.
Did you say 7?
7. And we're going to start in verse 11. Everybody there? And it says in verse 11, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with sacrifices of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. So here we see that thanksgiving is associated with peace, offerings. And it was part of their whole thing. You know, if you go back and you study the Old Testament's feasts, you know, there were three main feasts, right? The Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And there were periods where people were to come together and be thankful to God, and they had a feast. They actually ate together, and they would bring food to the Levites so that they could partake in the feast, because the Levites didn't have any property. And they lived off what people gave them. So they were to be thankful, and it was associated with the peace offerings. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. That's the last chapter of Hebrews. You know, it's easy to get unthankful sometimes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, the devil wants us to be unthankful. And he throws things at us to distract us from the greatness of God and the love of God, and even tries to make us think that God doesn't care or that he's punishing us or doing something to try to get us to be unthankful. And God says in everything we are to give thanks. In chapter 13 of Hebrews, verse 11, it says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. A That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so we don't offer sacrifices like in the Old Testament. We don't make cakes with oil and we don't slaughter animals and shed blood because Jesus Christ did that all for us. So it says here, we are to give praise to God continually, and the fruit of our lips is the giving of thanks to Him. That's our sacrifice. When we're thankful to God and praise God, that's our sacrifice. You know, sacrifices covered a multitude of things, right? They covered sin and they covered transgressions and they, you know, all kinds of stuff. And you know, you had to do sometimes to make up for an error or whatever. And then they did, you know, sacrifices on a regular basis. But we are just to give thanks to God all the time. We're to praise God all the time in our hearts. And that's our thanks. That's our sacrifice. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. So, thanksgiving is associated with praise, and it's associated with peace. So, 1 Chronicles. We're going to look at chapter 16. Now, if you remember and think about it, what happened with Israel when they came out of Egypt, and why did they have problems? Because they were not thankful, right? God brought them out. He did all these miracles, and they moaned and groaned. And they said, why'd you take us out of there? We had such a great deal being slaves. They did. You can read it. You can go back and read in Exodus, and they say, we had a nice place to die there. You know, we had a regular job, and, you know, they told us what to do. We just did it. And they complained and moaned and groaned. God took them out. He brought them across the Red Sea, destroyed the Egyptian army. They got out in the wilderness. Then they ran out of food, and God gave them manna, and they complained about that. And then He sent doves, and they complained about that. And then, you know, when they didn't have water, the water came out of a rock. You know, but every time they would have something to complain about. Everywhere they went, they had something. When they finally got to the promised land, they sent slaves over and they came back, spies, and they came back and they said, man, what a great place. And they brought back grapes, and the grapes were so heavy they had to put it on a rod and two guys had to carry it. You know, and they talked about how rich the land and how lush. And they said, but the people there are giants and they'll kill us. They'll stomp us. You know, God had assured them. And they had already seen Him fight their battles previous. You know, they didn't really have to do anything. They just had to listen to God and He would fight their battles. And they became unthankful. So 1 Chronicles 16, verse 1. This is where, you know, the Ark of God got stolen and they take it to this place and then the statues fall over and they can't figure out why. So, and, you know, they get afflicted with stuff. And so they tell Israel to take the ark, take it back. We don't want it. So it says, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. Now, David was not a priest, was he? Yet, but he was the man of God. He was the anointed of God. And so he offered these burnt offerings. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone, a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. Woohoo! What a deal. Everybody got bread and food and wine. And he approached certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. You know, and again, thank and praise God. So praise was a big deal when you're thanking God. Pretty great. Verse 5. Asaph, the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, Jehiel, Shema ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra, and salt. They came with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. And Benaniah also and Jehaziel and the priests and the with trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. If you read in the Old Testament, you know, there was a whole section of Levites that were only concerned with music and praising God. That was their job. It's kind of interesting because there are some groups of churches, people that don't believe you should have musical instruments when you sing and praise God. Kobe went to a church like that. There was no organ, no pianos, no anything. They just would sing, and that was it. Because they thought that was wrong. I don't know where they got it from, but anyway. Verse 7, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. And David, you know, he was really concerned about people being thankful and remembering God and speaking and praising God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So, you know, thankfulness is not just for our time in our church, but it was always a thing that was necessary. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's always necessary. It's important in our relationship with God. It's very important in our relationship with God. In chapter 4, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You know, we think of those things, we keep them in our mind, and our thanksgiving redounds to the glory of God. Glory and praise are, you know, go together, right? They're the same thing, basically. We give glory to God, we praise God. And when we do that, we're thankful. When we're thankful, we glorify God. It's pretty cool. As we are thankful, we glorify God. Praising God and thanking God go hand in hand. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Now, this is the flip side of the coin. It's about being unthankful. Speaking of natural man, you know, it says in verse 20, for the invisible things, chapter 1 of Romans. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, meaning man, humans, people. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what?
Fools.
You know, and it's pretty crazy. We need to recognize and understand that all that is worthwhile in life, that the only reason we have life is because of God. Everything we have belongs to God. I was watching a stupid show on TV, and they were interviewing Michael Keaton. Remember Michael Keaton? He's an actor. And he bought this huge ranch out in Montana. And I thought it was pretty good. I don't know if he's a godly man or not. But the guy asked him, he said, well, you bought this beautiful ranch. He says, yeah, it was a dream I've always had. He said, but it's really not mine. I'm just kind of leasing it. I made a transaction. I get to use this land, and then, you know, I die and it goes to somebody else. He said, you don't really ever own anything. You just get to use it for a while. And I thought that was pretty cool because that's true. You know, really everything belongs to God, right? Everything, we just get to use it. And that's all we need. We just need the use of it. Everything worthwhile comes to God. Without God, we have nothing and we are nothing. We're nothing but specks in the universe. Right?
Dirt bags.
We're not even that much. We're just a speck of dirt.
Dust
in the universe. That's all we are without God. We're just here for a moment of time in the whole span of eternity. But with God, we are elevated. With God, we are important. With God, we have eternity. It's kind of cool when you think about it. You know, so people that don't believe in God, what do they have? They really don't have anything. And if you confront them about it, they really don't have any answers. And if they say, well, God doesn't exist, you say, well, prove he doesn't exist. It's impossible. You can't disprove God. You can prove him, but you can't disprove him. Because of God, we are seated in the heavenlies. We're righteous and sanctified and beloved. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. It's a cool thing to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes you thankful. It should give you the trills when you think about it. Chapter 4 of Revelation. This is kind of cool. And of course, you know, Revelation is Greg Earle's been going through some of Revelation, and he really has been doing a great job. And the thing you have to remember about Revelation is it's not written to the Christian church. It's written to the Jews. So when it talks about the churches, it's not talking about Christian churches, because the word church is what? A gathering of people. And it talks about the church at Ephesus, the church at Philadelphia, the church at, you know, this place and that place. And they're churches after the gathering together. But they're people that have decided to believe God, or, you know, or attempting to believe God. And then, you know, God gives John all these visions, and they're visions of the future. So we don't know what's literal and what's figurative necessarily, because it gives you a lot of crazy illustrations and mind pictures. So, you know, some of them may be literal, and some of them may be figurative. We don't know. But it does say this in verse 8. And there were four beasts, and it's talking about four beasts, and had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, and again, that should make us thankful, because everything was created for his pleasure. And when we believe him and become his children, we're his pleasure. It's pretty cool. Let's go to Psalms 28. And because God did that, he deserves our thankfulness. He deserves our praise and our honor. And he deserves glory. Psalm 28. It's cool. You read that stuff in Revelation, and there's these 24 elders, 24 elders, and their job is to, before the throne of God, to give God praise all the time. That's their job. I don't know what they are, who they look like, what, you know, doesn't tell us. Just says 24 elders, whatever that means. you know, you get a picture in your mind maybe of these guys with long white beards and white robes. But who knows? Because then the beasts have six wings and all this other stuff. We have no clue. But it's cool to read about. 28, verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Here, you know, the psalmist. I think it's the Psalm of David. Yep. He says, praise the Lord, or blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. He heard my prayers. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. And David, what a great example he was and is, you know, because we can read about him. He would pray to God, and he was so thankful for God's deliverance. And he got lots of deliverance lots of different times. He went through a lot of crazy stuff. Let's go to Psalm 100. So, you know, there's a tendency for everybody to think that what's ever going on in their life is theirs only and nobody else has ever gone through it before. You ever get like that? Man, you know, kids do it all the time. Oh, you just don't understand. You were never a teenager. You were born old. You know, your life was perfect. Well, not necessarily. Where am I going? Psalm 100. We sing this, didn't we? We used to sing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know, and every time we go to God, it should be with thanksgiving. Not just thanking him that he's going to give you something, but thanking him for his love, for his grace, for his concern for our lives, for the greatness of what he has done, for his sending his son for us, for everything. We go before God, we go with thanksgiving. I want you to go to Daniel chapter 6. So remember, we said we're to be thankful in all circumstances. So I just thought we'd look at one little thing of Daniel. You know the story, the record. The record is he gets, there's a conspiracy to get him, and these guys get together in chapter 6, and Darius is the king, and so these guys say, well, you know, they're jealous of Daniel because he's the number one guy under the king, and they say, we got to get him, but the only way we're going to get him, he's perfect. The only way we can get him is how he worships his God. So they go to the God and they say, okay, Darius, we're going to make you God for a month. And nobody's allowed to worship or pray to anybody but you, Darius. And anybody that does anything but worship you should get thrown into the den of lions. So Darius is flattered and he signs the law. So in verse 5, you know the story, right?
Yeah.
Then these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled them together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did beforetime, or aforetime. He knew what they did, right? He knew the consequences. And what did he do? He didn't close the blinds and do it in secret, did he? He opened the blinds. He faced Jerusalem as he always did, and he prayed, and he worshiped God. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed the decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall he be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. In other words, once he signed the law, he couldn't change it. And so, you know, it goes on. Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den, and then the king prays for him all night. And, you know, says in verse 18, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions, because he was sad because he got tricked, because he loved Daniel, and Daniel was his main guy. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. You know, and then the king is happy, and he takes the other guys and he throws them into the lion's den, and they get eaten. Pretty cool. But, you know, Daniel was thankful to God, praising God, and it didn't have anything to do with circumstances, did it? Didn't matter what was going on. These guys were evil. They had a conspiracy, and they tried to get at him. But, you know, it doesn't matter what people do. It matters that we believe God, that we're thankful to God, that we praise God. And we stand for him. What a great thing. So being thankful is what we need to do. Being unthankful is the road down. Being thankful is the road up. Let's go to Psalm 105. And we always want to be on the road up. At least I do. I don't want to be on the road down. I don't want to be unthankful. Being unthankful is not even fun. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. You know, that's a cool thing when you read some of the prayers in the Word of God. One of the things that great men did, they would always rehearse some of the great things that God did, not just for them, but for Israel. You know, they just would remind God that they knew all that he had done, and they would praise him and thank him. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Doesn't it tell us and talk to us about sing and have psalms? And glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. That's what we're to do. We're to remember what God did for us. And let's go to Psalm 107. And verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. And again, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know, when we're thankful, that's like a sacrifice to God. It's a sweet-smelling savor to God when we're thankful. That's pretty cool when you think about it. So we are to be thankful all the time, not just when things are going good, and all circumstances, all situations. We are to be thankful, and we are to recognize and acknowledge God in every aspect of our life. We're to look to Him. We're to glorify Him. We're to praise Him in every situation. So, God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for loving us, that truly we can be thankful and we can rejoice because You are our God, that with You we are important. We are seated in the heavenlies. We are joint heirs with Your Son, Christ. And we just thank You, God, for that. We thank You for the life You've given us, for every breath of air we take. We thank You, God, for the food that You put on our tables. We thank You for the homes we live in. We thank You, God, for our children and our grandchildren and our families. And we just thank You that You've given us such a rich and full life, and that no matter what happens, God, we can always turn to You. We can always have something to be thankful for, because You are a God that loves us, that never forsakes us, that's always there for us, always, in everything. And we thank You in the wonderful name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.